The date is June 30th, 1999, and we're watching South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, is the Saddam Hussein to my Satan.
Wow. Come on, guy. I'm Colin Stewart.
I wanted to set the tone of this episode early. I had Stan to my Kyle originally, and I'm like, no, I gotta go for Saddam Hussein and Satan. So this week, we are looking back at June 1999, when the movies and theaters were Wild Wild West, Big Daddy, Disney's Tarzan, Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, and of course, our movie for today, South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, which earned $83.1 million on a $21 million budget. Now, I do want to say that this may be kind of an inaccurate number of what they should have earned, because with this movie being rated R, most people would buy tickets for Wild Wild West and then sneak in to South Park if they were underage. So, I mean, you know, Wild Wild West's box office was $222.1 million. So we could maybe knock, what, like 20 mil off? You know, they earned like $100 million if Wild Wild West were to pay up their share.
It'd actually be really interesting to know if somebody, if there was some way, I wish we lived in today's times, because I feel like there would actually be a way to check that, but I would be interested to know what the actual numbers are.
Yeah, because I was of age when this movie came to theaters, so I was not someone that snuck into this one.
Yeah, I was not of age, but I did watch this movie in theaters somehow. I'm trying to remember how exactly. But regardless, if you don't want this movie to be spoiled for you, because there is going to be spoilers aplenty, please hit pause on this podcast, go watch the movie, and then come back and hear what we have to say.
So, the tagline that appears on the poster for this movie is, well, I do have five. The first is, uh-oh.
Ruh-roh. Yeah, I guess.
And the second is, uh-oh, the critics love it.
That was like the post-premiere. They just like...
Yeah,
I'm just imagining it like slapped on with masking tape or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Number three, all hell breaks loose.
That like that. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's fits
fitting,
the,
I guess,
fits, yeah, the plot.
Number four, warning, this movie will warp your fragile little minds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. 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 And finally, I really like this one. It's not just another day in the park.
That one's clever. Yeah, I like that one too.
Yeah. But they may not be the best description of this movie, so let's go to Colin for a 60-second synopsis.
Holy crap, I don't even remember. I feel like I'm sure I wrote one. Yeah, I did. Okay, good. Okay. After Terrence and Philip release their long-awaited feature film, Asses of Fire, and turn Stan, Kyle, Kenny, Cartman, and all the children of South Park into a bunch of potty-mouthed heathens, distressed by the lost innocence of their offspring, the parents of South Park, led by Kyle's mom Sheila, hatch a plan to arrest Terrence and Philip for corrupting the youth of America, thereby inciting a war with Canada. As the parents plot to execute Terrence and Philip for their crimes at a USO show, the boys lead a children's resistance movement to rescue their heroes before it's too late. Meanwhile, after Kenny is killed by a botched surgery meant to save him after he lit his own fart on fire, he finds himself in hell, where Satan sees an opportunity to use the war and the execution of Terrence and Philip to open a gate to hell and expand his domain into Earth. while also navigating relationship issues with his lover, Saddam Hussein, who wants to ride Satan's coattails to world domination. And that is your 60-second synopsis.
Man, when you lay it out like that, just so matter-of-factly as a synopsis, what the fuck did we just watch? Like, it's, you know... Now, are you a South Park, like, a current South Park watcher? Now that it's in, what, like, its 25th, 26th season?
25, I believe. So, I'm not somebody who watches it regularly, but I kind of, like, pop in here and there. Like, I still really enjoy it. Okay. I was a big fan right at the beginning, and around this time the movie came out, like, I remember buying... South Park was probably one of the first DVD series I bought on DVD, like, season by season. Yeah. But then it kind of tapered off around season 10 or 11.
Okay.
And since then, it's one of those shows, kind of like The Simpsons is now, too, like, where if I see it, I'll watch it, but I'm not, like, up to date on it.
Yeah. See, I am pretty close to up to date on The Simpsons, but I dropped off on South Park a long time ago. South Park was really a flash in the pan for me. I collected the DVDs of this one before they were actually full seasons on DVDs. You bought a disc and it had like 6 episodes on it.
Okay.
And that was it, you know. And so I had these 6 box sets and it only made up the first 2 seasons.
Yeah.
But it was somewhere around the time that this movie came out that all of a sudden I'm like, eh, I was done with South Park. Now, part of that was financial and me being a 20-something-year-old bum and not being able to pay for a cable bill. So I wasn't able to get the premium channels required to watch South Park on the regular. But nevertheless, I dropped off. I still get the occasional text from my buddy Sully, who... Shout out Sully, because I know he's listening to this episode. But he will still send me an occasional current clip of South Park.
Yeah.
And I still get a chuckle out of it, but yeah, it still doesn't draw me back into the show. I mean, yeah, so my history kind of ends with the movie, more or less.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie, I have it like I was just on Paramount Plus the other day, and I saw that they have South Park up to the current episodes, and I've been really wanting to watch the pandemic specials. I was waiting for them to come out on Crave so I could watch them, but they have yet to make it their way there. So,
yeah,
it's definitely a show that I like it, and I like the later seasons a lot more. Like, I find it around the point where I stopped watching, like around season 10, I find it really hard to go back there. I think everything from kind of season maybe 13 onwards, where they actually tried to be more current and like follow current events a lot more, and it was less just about what's happening in the town. To me, that's where the show like got more interesting. But again, I've only watched like kind of a few episodes here and there.
Yeah, that is one thing that I definitely applaud South Park for, is because I know they have such a fast turnaround on their animation that they can stay that much more current.
Yeah.
But, you know, I respect that. I respect the hell out of Matt Stone and Trey Parker as well. But I just, I can't hop back on South Park. But, like, Book of Mormon is one of my favorite musicals. You know, it's absolutely brilliant. I love the movie Orgasmo or Basketball. I mean, I thoroughly enjoy Matt Stone and Trey Parker as people and as creatives. But, yeah.
Were you a Team America fan?
Oh, and Team America. Can't forget Team America. Oh my God. Yes. And I revisited that one not too long ago. I watched that one, I don't know, 3 years ago, maybe. That might have been an early pandemic film for me. And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I still love it, but I shouldn't because it is so terrible.
Yeah.
Well, let's jump into South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, directed by Trey Parker, produced by Trey Parker and Matt Stone, plus Frank C. Agnone II gets animation producer. His whole IMDb is South Park and Team America, and it's written by Trey Parker and Matt Stone, plus Pam Brady, who it looks like must be a staff writer for the series, and she also wrote on Team America. So we open this movie on my favorite gimmick. You know how much I love when it dissolves into the movie from, like, the logo. Paramount does this all the time. So we get the Paramount logo that turns into the cartoon version. And we're in it.
Is it only Paramount that can do that?
Well, Universal can, too, because they can take away the letters of Universal and zoom into the Earth. I've seen that one a few times. It's not usually as impressive, though.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I... Oh, boy. Because I dropped off South Park so long ago, it was so strange being back in South Park. But because I love Book of Mormon so much that going back and watching this movie, it's wildly offensive, of course, but I appreciate the musical aspect of this movie so much more. And it, I mean, opens up right with this little mountain town song. And it takes itself so seriously.
I was going to say, maybe it's because, like, this isn't a movie that I've watched a lot since I watched it for the first time. I've seen it a few times, but
yeah,
it's not one I've gone back to a lot. But I think, you know, since I've become more engrossed in a wider variety of musicals, probably within the last 5 years, I definitely picked up on a lot of, I don't know what you would call it. Maybe like homage is the right term, but I feel like a lot of the songs, like I like the musical aspect, but I also felt like a lot of the songs mirrored songs from famous musicals. Like and maybe it's just because we both were in Oklahoma, but Little Mountain Town gives me like, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning vibes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's the type of song, the song it is. And even kind of the way it starts, I found it was similar. And then later, I think it's the La Resistance song. It's clearly like, it mirrors One Day More from Les Miserables and little things like that, which, I don't know.
The Satan song, I would almost say, is almost Andrew Lloyd Webber-esque.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
And so I kind of liked that aspect of it, because you can tell, and especially like now knowing that they've made Book of Mormon, but you can tell these guys, the thing I like about Matt Stone and Trey Parker is that they're nerds.
Yeah.
Like they're just nerds who made it big, and they're like nerds like me and you who like musicals and like pop culture and like all this stuff. And it's cool to see, as I'm older now, I feel like I can appreciate more how they put all of that stuff into this movie.
Yeah. And, like, the movie itself, I mean, when you boil it down to, they're telling the story of what their own movie, like, it's so meta. They're telling a story of what they think their own movie's, you know, impact is going to be. And so it's funny watching that. Because, like, I mean, they can't get into the Terrence and Phillip movie because it's rated R. And then to have, like, to hear about the fact that people would sneak in from a Wild Wild West ticket and everything, it's like, that's this movie.
Yeah, totally.
Paying bums to get you in the theater.
Yeah. I did notice, it is kind of weird to see the animation, because the current day South Park animation is so different. It's so much smoother, and it's not that cardboard cutout type thing. But at the same time, I kind of appreciate that that's what the show was at the time, and they just kind of kept it as is.
Yeah.
It was funny. I listened to a bit of the commentary track on the Blu-ray, and they were just talking about how basically, like, they didn't want to make a movie because it was, you know, most TV shows, like The Simpsons, for example. I think The Simpsons movie came out around, like, season 25 or something like that, maybe, season 20. It's like most times when you have a movie based on a TV show, it's after it's been long running and that kind of stuff. But this one, I think, came out right after, it came out between season 2 and 3 of South Park. So they're kind of like, yeah, we had no business of really making this movie. But then they were like, we thought we were going to get canceled. Like, they thought that after season 2, because, and I didn't realize this, because I thought, in my mind, South Park has always been really popular. South Park to me has always been very, very popular, and the only thing I'd ever heard about it back in the day was that, you know, parents had problems with it and these Christian groups had problems with it and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But apparently it wasn't so popular after the first two seasons, and so they made the movie basically just because they had the opportunity to, and they thought it'd be cool.
Yeah, I had South Park dolls. Like they were these like 18-inch maybe tall dolls, and I had the four main guys. I had Wendy, I had Chef. I mean, you know, like these huge fucking dolls. I spent like $40 on them each. Like, and yeah. I liked this thing for like 5 years. Like, yeah. I'm so glad I wasn't into tattoos back then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd have a Kenny somewhere, you know.
Yeah, I remember I had a big Cartman plush doll that I loved. And I mean, to put it into context, like, I love South Park so much that, you know, probably until I was in close to my mid-20s, every year at Christmas, my mom would give me a gift, would put a gift under the tree that was wrapped in toilet paper with little brown smudges on it and say it was from Mr. Hankey.
Nice. So this movie holds a Guinness World Record in 2001 for the most profanity used in an animated movie. It has 399 curse words because 400 would have pushed it to NC-17. It has 199 offensive gestures and 221 acts of violence. Mm-hmm. And apparently they added in Cartman saying the word cunt at the end just to ensure that it received the top rating in every country that it was going to. Like Trey and Matt are trolling, man. Like,
yeah.
Even back then they were trolling. That's how much they didn't want to make the movie, I guess, that they're like, fine, fuck it. We'll make sure that we get a top rating everywhere.
I mean, yeah, the swearing in this movie is really funny too, because that's what I remember most about it.
Yeah.
From back in the day was how, you know, the big draw as a South Park fan was you were finally going to get to see them
unbleeped.
go that extra level and unbleeped. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I'm pretty sure now they're allowed to say shit on TV, and like they just say that in the show, like, regardless, we're back here, they couldn't even say that. So
I mean, can you imagine being the guy at the censor board that's just like, you're gonna have to take out donkey raping shit eater, you know?
Donkey raping shit eater.
Oh
yeah. I mean, I love to think that it's literally somebody's job to watch a movie with a notepad and just tally swear words,
yeah,
to make sure that they're like, to then throw it in some data machine to decide, what's the rating going to be? Yeah. There's 37 fucks. Like, what? Yeah. Are you, like,
I'm sorry, but you're going to have to remove the girl wearing the Cockmaster t-shirt.
Yeah. it lends a nice edge to the movie for sure. The scene when after they watch the movie and they're in Mr. Garrison's class, and Cartman's like, "Why don't you suck my balls, Mr. Garrison?" Like,
yeah,
so funny, so good. But and that's one too where I know for sure when I was back in junior high or high school, whenever I watched this movie, that was one of the things that people would always quote or be like, "Man, it'd be so cool to like say that to your teacher." But
yeah.
I would never do it. I was too much of a giddy.
Well, yeah, that's right. We do go back to Mr. Garrison's class and we get the MK song. Like, yeah. They just like I love the musical aspect. Overall, this movie, I was just like, "Oh, I can't believe I'm watching South Park again." But I am giggling a bit, but I can't stress enough though just how much more I appreciated the music in this.
Yeah, the music is what makes it.
Yeah.
The music, I think, makes it very enjoyable and sets it as an adult. I would have said probably as a teenager, the swearing was what set it apart from the show. But on this watch, I agree with you. I think it's the music is just it's so good and so enjoyable. And I was reading that Blame Canada was nominated for an Academy Award.
Yes,
but
it was.
But they lost to
Tarzan.
Probably one of literally one of the songs I hate most in the world, Phil Collins, "You'll Be in My Heart." Like that's salt on a wound for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I remember the Oscars that year because Robin Williams sang "Blame Canada" at the Oscar ceremony.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. But back then, I was just laughing about the fact. I'm like, oh my god, I can't believe that this movie got nominated for Best Song. And then watching it now, it's like, oh, it kind of deserved to get a nomination. Not necessarily for that song.
Yeah.
Like the Satan song was almost better than that one.
Yeah, like what's your favorite, what's like your top song in the movie?
Oh, I've always liked "What Would Brian Boitano Do?" yeah, but you know, actually, you brought it up earlier, the Resistance.
Yeah, I was gonna
song.
Say to me the La Resistance song is the tits
because it's everything.
Yeah, it's just so good. Yeah. And it's just so earnest. That's what I love about it. It's just so earnest and so good.
And it gets the reprise later from the Weird Kid, where you know,
the mole.
Yeah, the mole. Though I die, la resistance lives on.
Yeah. I do. Yeah. I like some of the added characters, like the mole and Jeffrey, who, what does he always say? He's like, I graduated from Yardale with a 4.0 grade point average.
Yeah.
But watching this movie this time, I was like, have they not made a second one? There's so many added characters like Butters and his counterpart, Mysterion? And then you have Cartman with the coon and all this stuff. I feel like, I guess they've probably put a lot of that into the video games I know they've made, which is also, they're also really popular. But
yeah,
the thing I was struck by, I guess, is the world has expanded so much since this movie came out that there's just so many more funny characters, like Stan's dad, Randy, he might be my favorite character right now. But
yeah, like I remember the fact that at one point it was such a huge deal because we also got to see Kenny's face for the first time.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah.
And that was the other big deal. We got to see what Kenny looked like and hear his voice unmuffled. Yeah. And, you know, but it is funny, though, that I remember, you know, the fact that he dies every episode on the show, but the fact that they spent so much money on his death in this scene or in this movie where he lights his fart and then they've got the whole hell sequence that is obviously very expensive computer animation. Like, that's probably most of the budget right there is this scene.
Yeah. I also remember being really shocked that you got to see animated boobs when I was a teenager.
Animated boobs. Yeah, and of course, we've also got Saddam's dildo that he...
Oh, yeah.
No, guy. It's just a joke.
Yeah.
I'm impressed, though. One of the things that blows my mind, especially looking back at it now, is some of the other stars that they got in this movie. Like the fact that George Clooney plays the doctor that tries to save Kenny's life.
Yeah.
Like, I guess maybe he was less of who George Clooney is now back then, but still, it's like, I'm just surprised.
What are you talking about? He had just turned in a star-making performance as Batman.
Oh, that's right. Yes. So maybe this was his way of saying, no, I'm in on the joke, right?
Yeah. I was wondering if maybe it must be like an ER.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know, like it's an ER callback or something like that. Yeah,
totally, totally. But like Brent Spiner is who played Conan O'Brien.
All right.
Minnie Driver plays Brooke Shields. Dave Foley plays the Baldwin brothers. And Eric Idle is Dr. Vostknocker.
Nice.
Yeah.
I wonder what it must be like. I guess specifically for like Conan O'Brien, don't you feel like they could have just got Conan O'Brien to do it? Like, Conan O'Brien, he seems like he would have been down, but...
Yeah.
It must be... I feel like as an actor, it would be weird to be like, oh, You're playing. You're not even playing me. You're just playing my voice. Strange.
Yeah, but I mean, back then, it's like that was their thing, though. Was yeah. No matter what, all celebrity voices are impersonated, and so it makes sense that they wouldn't have reached out to real people. That's what the Simpsons did. These guys, they were edgy, so they got other people to impersonate them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember hating Kyle's mom too.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess she's clearly the main antagonist, but I remember finding her so annoying in this movie.
Jeez, mom, just back off, you know?
And watching the movie this go around, I feel like maybe it's South Park, so it's like they don't have to think of, they don't really care about like plot holes or just like how insane stuff is, obviously, but it's such a sharp turn to go from like, oh, these people made a bad movie and my kids watched it, to then they're gonna abduct these guys and put them in a POW camp.
Yeah.
It's pretty extreme.
See, now, I mean, the problem is, though, this whole idea of invading Canada, I mean, it was done in previous movies before it was done in this one. Like Canadian Bacon, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, they're just ripping off another idea on top of everything.
I think they just really like to use that flapping head animation that they use for Canadians.
Yeah, yeah. What I read also was that Brian Boitano didn't give permission to use his name, but really? Like he has since embraced this song, and he uses like what would Brian Boitano do as a slogan on like charity T-shirts and things.
Oh, nice.
So, if they're gonna do it, run with it.
Yeah. That's kind of funny. I wonder if to avoid any sort of legal action, they just decided to sign the rights to the song over to him.
Well, that would have been even more interesting, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't remember the relationship between Satan and Saddam Hussein as well as I thought. Like, for some reason, I had completely forgotten about that aspect of the movie.
Yeah.
I remembered the war with Canada and all that, and I remember that Satan was in it, but I did not remember that they were like, you know, gay lovers.
Yeah, well, see, the dildo always sticks out in my mind as one of the things that I remember.
No pun intended.
Yeah,
or pun intended.
Either way. But it's, other than that, I don't remember as much of their relationship either as until now. It's kind of like, oh yeah, it was actually Saddam. Like, I forgot about the whole climax where it's like, oh yeah, it was Saddam that really wanted to take over the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I forgot about the ending to this movie.
I mean, it speaks, their relationship, I feel like now, or maybe even then, I don't know, maybe I just wasn't as in tune with... Like, I feel like nowadays people talk about, like, abusive relationships and all that stuff, but it's kind of funny to watch their relationship and just see it, you know, see them in those roles with Satan as this big, beefy, like, man-beast being kind of cowed to this pervert.
Yeah. Yeah, and, I mean, you actually feel for Satan, basically, at that point.
Yeah.
Do you think Trey and Matt chose Canada because they knew we could take the joke the best in a big screen movie?
I mean, that's a good point. I think there's probably something to that theory. Like, I'm just trying to think, it's like you couldn't do Russia or like, I'm just thinking like you couldn't have done North Korea. Like, we saw what happened with the interview.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like if you're going to do Canada, and especially because you're framing them as like, they're not the crazy ones. You're still at the end of the day, kind of making fun of America more than Canada, but yeah.
But, well, you know, like, I wrote down what the pie chart is made up of when they're showing the pie chart for Canada's economy,
mm-hmm.
and it's Terrence and Phillip, snowball machines, tourism, logging, porn, this one's in quotation marks, Dion Fish Industries.
Dion Fish?
Yeah. And filming X-Files. So you can definitely see where the world was at in 1999, right?
Yeah.
Like, I know Pornhub is a Canadian company. Oh, Canada. But, like, was it in existence back then for porn? Like, was porn a big industry in Montreal as much as it is now?
Maybe it was like Netflix, where you just had to mail away and they'd send you the DVDs.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I don't know.
In a discreet envelope, discreet black envelope.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I do wonder what it would be like now. I think there's something lost in the fact that, and I'm basing this solely on having watched Jason Kenney's Hot Boy Summer, which I feel like is a similar comedic vein to South Park. But I would have loved to see this movie with Justin Trudeau in power, and what I would have just loved to see the South Park version of Justin Trudeau. I think
well,
it would have been so funny.
We could probably see that if we watch the series still, because I can't imagine he's escaped anything.
Yeah. I wonder if they have a convoy episode in the new season. That'd be hilarious.
Oh my god. Oh, the black eye on Canada. Fuck. Oh, we got a war going on and they're pissed off. Whatever. Anyway.
Yeah. I remember really liking Cartman back in the day, but I don't know if I'm just like older and more sensible, but I think I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that I think Cartman is too offensive.
Yeah.
I remember laughing a lot at all the Jew jokes, but I don't know that I appreciate them as much now as I did back then.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree.
I think sensibilities have changed. That was the one where I was like, I think the sensibilities have changed a lot.
Well, I know it's also interesting when, like, Chef showed up and I'm like, oh yeah, Chef's on this show. Because even though I stopped watching it back then, I know about the whole Chef leaving the show.
Yeah,
The big falling out. So I just, Richard Roundtree, right? Is that who? No, it's
Isaac Hayes,
fuck. Yeah. So it's just, it's interesting knowing that he's not on the show anymore, but then seeing him, but,
I mean, seeing him. The other, like, I didn't get this at the time I watched it, but I remember I got it probably only a couple years ago, and a few years ago. The last time I rewatched the movie, it really dawned on me, but the Operation Get Behind the Darkies.
Yeah.
Like, man, like,
oh.
Like only these guys could get away. Like,
well, I mean, there is a part of me that wishes that I still watched the show or had done a little extended research and sought out a few of the newer episodes, because I'm wondering whether these guys that have always pushed it, whether they've scaled back on it though, because I mean, we've got a midget in a bikini. Is someone that the news guy throws it to. We've got Cartman doing blackface at one point. Like, I'm just wondering, is there a line where they'll, like, go up to the line and stop, or has it just gotten worse since this movie came out?
Like, I think one of the main differences, and you can see it in this movie, but even the show back then, it was like, I felt like they were trying to push the line of like, offensiveness.
Yeah.
Whereas the show nowadays, I think it does still have some of that stuff, but the show nowadays is really more about, like, societal commentary. So it's, like, it's not as offensive because it's, like, you're basically, like, critiquing society. Like, you're in on the joke.
It's more of a satire.
So it's like you can watch it and kind of see what's happening in the world. Yeah. But, I mean, like, there is the episode that came to mind was there's a, like, they have a black kid on the show whose name is Token. And then, I remember there's this episode. Yeah.
Like, holy shit. Okay.
Like, yeah. there's an episode where Cartman is trying to start a Christian rock band. Uh-huh. And basically he's just taking, you know, like, I think the premise is, like, they just take love songs and they just add God and Jesus and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But he approaches Token to join the band specifically because his people can all play music. And there's this funny part where Token is like, well, I can't play guitar. Like, I've never played the guitar before. And Cartman's just like, no, Token, you can play the guitar. And he just slams a guitar in Token's hands. And he can immediately start playing it because it's just this, like, trope of, you know, all black people are, like, musically gifted or whatever, yeah, or something like that. Yeah. And it's just Token himself is like, what the hell? Like, I don't know. Like, why is this happening?
Well, I know for me, the most recent, like, the most recent clip of South Park that I've seen, or extended amount of South Park I've seen, was there was an episode talking about, like, transgender athletes competing.
Oh, yeah.
And the woman that was competing clearly looked like Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah.
And so that's the most recent I've seen. So I see what you mean. Like that, because that's the most context I have for recent South Park, and I think that one's like 5 years old at this point, yeah, or if not more. I can see that, yes, they are taking more of a satirical approach than they are of just like, hey, we're saying shit and fuck and all these other things.
Yeah. I'm sure they still have some of their episodes that are more just like, I think a lot of them are satire, and then occasionally there's like episodes that are meant to like specifically poke fun at people. Like there's the Tom Cruise is in the closet episode, and there's the Jared has AIDS episode, and I remember there's like an R. Kelly one as well that they did, and yeah. So
See, and that's the thing is for pop culture knowledge, I am aware of all these episodes.
Yeah, but yeah.
That's the thing, is it's funny that you're listing these, and I'm like, oh, yeah. I know about all these, even though I stopped watching. It really has crept into our consciousness, this movie.
Yeah, like, I think there was a point where I almost felt like people, like, relied on South Park to kind of make sense of what was happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know where are we even at in this movie.
Well,
I just keep getting sidetracked into this show.
Yeah, I've slowly been working my way through it, but I mean, I don't know how much we actually have left to really talk about. I mean, Kenny's dead, so there's the whole Satan and Saddam Hussein storyline. I don't know whether I've got anything else to say about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do, though, like the Saddam song. That
I Can Change, that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or sorry, not I Can Change. Sorry, the Satan song.
Oh, the Satan song. Yeah.
The Saddam song, the I Can Change. Rumors are that the U.S. military officers forced Saddam Hussein to watch this movie repeatedly while they had him in custody. I mean, if that's true, oh boy. Is Big Gay Al still a character on the show too?
I don't know.
Yeah.
The last bit I remember watching is like, and I was trying to remember if it happens after the movie because Satan takes Mr. Hat. And I remember that after Mr. Hat is gone, and I think it's because of this, Mr. Garrison has Mr. Stick, and then eventually, Mr. Garrison becomes a trans woman, and I think he dates. I think he dates Big Gay Al for a bit.
Okay.
At some point, I could be wrong on that, but I don't know. Mr. Garrison's I don't know how it eventually panned out. Oh no! Then he ends up. Mr. Garrison ends up being the like Trump character in 2016. He runs against Hillary Clinton for the presidency, and I'm pretty sure Mr. Garrison becomes president.
Okay. Oh, wow. So, I mean, one thing I will say about Saddam and Satan's relationship, though, is that at least Satan goes for advice from the book. Saddam is from Mars and Satan is from Venus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that means it's time for Sponsorship Corner!
There we go.
Absolutely. Always on the lookout for product placements this week. South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut is brought to you by an entirely fictional lineup. The book Saddam is from Mars, Satan is from Venus, the South Park News, Tom's Rhinoplasty, Fletcher and Sons Piano, SUNY Televisions, Mothers Against Canada, Choo Choo Chips, Snacky S'mores, and Cheesy Poofs. And this has been Sponsorship Corner. I had to figure out a way. I was hoping there was going to be at least one thing in here that they, you know, someone had paid to put in. Yeah. But nothing. Yeah, so I don't think we have talked enough about the mole, though. Like, I really like when they first meet the mole and he can't go out because he's grounded.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's my favorite thing about the mole is that he's this badass, but, like, he is still a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, he's still chain-smoking and swears like a sailor, but at the end of the day, he still has his mother to tell him what to do. Yeah. His joke when they're, like, when they're about to break into the camp and, you know, he's like, oh, do you have your flashlight? Do you have your whatever? Do you have your butt for? And then he's like, they're like, what's a butt for? Pooping, silly. That is the funniest shit to this day to me. Like, I can't tell you how many times I try to get people with that. Mostly my wife, who falls for it quite regularly. But it's just the best. I love it.
Well, and I mean, the payoff too is like the line, I think it's Stan's line of, damn, dude, that kid is fucked up. And it's like the one time that, like, you know, that's the funniest time with them swearing, because you can think about that on the show that, you know, The Office does it as well every once in a while where they bleep something out. But if this is one that got through the censors on the TV show, that would be a perfect, just because, yeah, damn, dude, that kid is fucked up. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the more, like, I do like the addition. Like, I like adding Jeffrey as that, you know, the he's actually, like, the competent one. And the, you know, he's trying to steal Wendy from Stan.
Well, and he's definitely, he totally is the guy from Les Miserables.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, it's the same sort of character, just this, you know, pompous, you know, like, spoiled ass or whatever.
Yeah. And then having the mole, because, yeah, I don't think you would have been able to, I don't think you would have been able to just push the movie forward all that much with the three of them.
Yeah.
It was interesting, like, watching the movie, because it seemed clear to me at this, I think it's kind of evened out in the show these days, but it seems Stan is kind of the main guy in this movie, to me anyways.
I mean, it really is Stan or Kyle, but yeah. I mean, you're right. Because of the love story, that's
why Stan...
Yeah,
I was going to say, because of the love story, yeah.
You know, or love triangle, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
If Stan could stop puking.
Yeah, I forgot about... I remember that being a... That's the other thing. This movie, for anybody who hasn't seen South Park, or like has watched South Park to the current day, is probably kind of a time capsule, because there's so many of those things, like Stan puking every time he sees Wendy and Kenny dying every episode and the You Bastards and all that, that they're just not there anymore, really.
Yeah. It's kind of like how early seasons of Big Bang Theory, Raj couldn't speak to girls.
Yeah,
they're kind of
exactly.
Like, they're kind of like, oh, well, that's a dead end at some point.
Yeah.
So at some point, Lana Lang has to take off the kryptonite necklace and put it in a box, you know?
Yeah.
So we get our big, like, closing set piece where we've got our war that breaks out because they kill Terrence and Philip. Or no, yeah, they do kill Terrence and Philip. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and so Satan and Saddam Hussein come and take over the world. And I do love the moment, though, that, like, at least the Operation Human Shield joke that you mentioned earlier, at least they...
It doesn't pan out. Yeah, they get their comeuppance or their revenge.
Yeah.
We gonna die. That might be subtle racism.
Yeah, I mean, with all the different current television shows, with them all changing the voice actors in the animation for The Simpsons and Family Guy and all these other shows, I'm pretty sure that those characters, other than Chef, were probably voiced by white actors as well.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Like I'm pretty sure Matt and Trey do the majority of the voices for all the characters.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like Team America. It's everyone sounds the same because everyone is being done by Matt and Trey.
Yeah. Team America. Matt Damon. That's the best joke in that movie.
Yeah. Well, and except for Kenny too, because Kenny is voiced by Mike Judge. So
Is he even like his actual voice?
Yeah.
Or is that just the muffles? I can never really tell it, like who is actually cast as what, because I'm pretty sure in the show they say that the dog is voiced by George Clooney as well, but I've never been certain if that's true or if they just put kind of like fake credits in their stuff.
Yeah, who knows. Speaking of credits, like the thing I find weirdest in this entire movie, out of all the like highly offensive and batshit crazy things that are happening, is that the closing music is like this really passionate Michael McDonald song of Through the Eyes of a Child is what it's called. And it's like, what is going on? Like, where did this song come from? Like with all the other songs in the movie?
I don't know. I think they just, who knows? I wish I had watched the whole movie with the commentary, because kind of the sense that I get from Matt and Trey is that they, when they like something or like a style or just music, or they just think something is going to be really funny, then that's just what they do. And that song kind of reminds me of that, where it's just like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if...
Yeah.
And then they do that. Yeah,
that's 100%. You know, I realized that you asked me what my favorite song was. What is your favorite song of this movie? It's Through the Eyes of a Child, right? No.
My favorite song would be a toss-up between La Resistance and... It's Easy MK.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I forgot that you had kind of like agreed with that, but yeah, I didn't know whether that was your final answer, I guess.
Yeah, it's hard to beat La Resistance just cuz it's so it's the one day more. It's like the we're all going to go to battle and die or be free.
Yeah. Now, are you aware that there's a post-credit scene in this movie?
Oh shit. No, I'm not.
You got to start watching them to the end. Holy shit. Because Kyle's brother, what his name? It's Ike, right?
Ike, yeah.
Yeah. He was put in the attic. And so at the end, he's still in the attic because they forgot about him.
Yeah.
And then he eats a mouse.
Oh.
and then that's it. That's the ending scene. That's
good to know. Good to know.
Well, there we go. That is South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. Now, Colin, on IMDb, it scored a 7.7 out of 10. It has a Metascore of 73. Wow. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has 80% on the tomato meter and an audience rating of 88%. But, Colin, those are just numbers. Like kicking the baby. Hit us with some reviews.
All right, I'm going to start with a negative. Josie Sora says 1 out of 5 stars. In the beginning, I hated South Park the series. This movie shouldn't be loved. We've dealt with too much racism and demonizing to enjoy something as horrendous as this.
Whoa.
I thought the dialogue was sketchy and the singing repetitive. In one word, this movie sucked. The animation, I believe, could have been done better by a blind man with no arms. If I was to make a movie, I would actually try to make a good movie, not a pile of steaming urine that makes fun of both religion and the color of people's skin. It uses the same repetitive jokes as the episodes which preceded it. And look, we got mothers just being racist, demonizing Canada in the same way we've been racist to African Americans in the past, even Asian Americans. First that, now this? God! Thank God the La Resistance group fought back. I don't recommend this film at all.
Oh, well, you found an angry Canadian then.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what's funny is you do, that one does mention the animation and how shitty it is. And that is what South Park is. But for some reason, when I sat down and watched it, I did totally forget how shitty the animation was going to be. Because for some reason, I thought they had Simpsons-ified this movie. Like, because you remember when The Simpsons came out with their movie and all of a sudden everybody had shading on them and, and like everything had more depth and more panoramic vision. And then, like, all of a sudden the show started adopting that style after that point. But for some reason, I was expecting these characters to be better animated because I totally forgot that it was just, nope, we're just using the same animation except for the Satan scene.
But I think that's also part of the joke because they have that scene. I think it's after they watch the Terrence and Phillip movie where Cartman's like, "Whatever, you guys, the animation was so crappy." And then it cuts to that scene of them walking sideways, just bumpy and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and really it's, extra and again, bad it's
like,
animation.
Yeah, and it's like that thing you talked about how it's kind of it's like a meta juxtaposition of them watching Terrence and Phillip, but also their own movie, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Tathagata Sengupta says 5 out of 5 stars. This movie is everything that is brilliant about the show. Caricatures the idea of censorship and bad parenting. It also provides a meta narrative on how South Park is perceived in the real world. Terrence and Phillip being the creators, Matt and Trey themselves. This movie still maintains its freshness and genius even after 20 plus years of its release. It follows the Disney formula of musical we are so fond of, which Matt and Trey hate, perhaps, unfortunately. All the songs are memorable and witty.
I don't think they hate it. That would be my guess. They're kind of appreciating musicals and Disney in a way. You know, it's like, yeah, theirs is far more offensive, but it still feels like it's done with love. Like, they take the musical seriously. So seriously. Yeah. Just like Book of Mormon.
Yeah, for sure. This will be the last one. It's Jeremy Hughes review. So it's
I feel like we've heard from him before in another episode.
Yeah, maybe. 5 out of 5 stars, he says, as someone who's not exactly the biggest South Park fan, South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut is one of the best movies I've ever seen. The comedy is fantastic, the characters are great, the satire is biting and relevant, and it's a perfect demonstration of how-to of using vulgarity to be clever as opposed to just being vulgar. And it's a freaking musical. South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut is easily one of the best animated films ever made, if not the best. I highly recommend checking it out, regardless of how much of a South Park fan you are.
That one's a stretch. Best ever made.
I don't know. It's one of those things. Like I like the movie, obviously, but it's like in terms of best animated movie, that's like
there may be one or two more that are ahead of that. You know, like
I was gonna say based on plot alone, that can't be true. Like there's just more resonant stories in any Pixar film. Like, I don't think this cracks whatever the Pixar catalog is. I don't think this movie cracks that in terms of animated films.
And I mean, let's put up any song in this musical or in this movie against We Don't Talk About Bruno from Encanto, because I mean that shit slaps, man. Oh my god, my kids love Encanto, and my god, we don't talk about Bruno around here, but we fucking sing about him. Holy shit, I like that song.
There we go.
Oh boy. You know, I mentioned up at the top, like, the Orgasmo and Basketball. What is your familiarity with those movies? Have you seen either of those?
I definitely haven't seen Orgasmo. I've seen, the best way I can say it is I've seen Basketball in passing. Like, I think I watched it on like a bus trip once.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, Orgasmo is about a Mormon missionary who is going around the neighborhood, and he stumbles across a house where they are filming pornography, and he gets himself pulled into the world of being a professional pornographer, but he doesn't have sex with any of the women. They always bring in a stunt cock. So now you know, I take a look at, I love the movie, fuck. And next time you're back returning DVDs, I'll slip that one on the sly for you, because you got to see this movie.
All right.
But it's like, okay, the Mormon story, you know, that's where you get, like, the rebel Mormon that is going against the church storyline that worked its way into Book of Mormon. And then with this movie, like, you see the music inspiration that went into making Book of Mormon. So I was hoping that maybe you had seen Orgasmo to be able to kind of see this whole picture that I'm putting together. But anyone that is familiar with any of those properties, you know, like, they're making the connections in their own ear holes right now. So, yeah. So with this movie, I mean, 7.7 and 80% from, or sorry, 88% from audiences, 73 and 80 from critics. I'm impressed that the critics' ratings are that high for this movie.
Yeah, especially considering Ebert's rating was not glowing.
Yeah.
And he's usually like, I feel like he's kind of the barometer.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, on this viewing, where does this fall for you?
I'll say it's definitely lost some of its shine. I don't hate it, but I used to love it. Like, yeah. This used to be a movie that I loved to watch. And it was like, I remember watching it when I'm pretty sure I had it on VHS.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so it would have been before I got a DVD player. I've had it on DVD too, obviously, but I think I remember having it on VHS and watching it on summer holidays over and over again with my cousin and just memorize. I think I've told you this on other episodes in the past or maybe off mic, but like there was a point where I had watched this movie so much that I could literally replay it in my brain and sing all the songs word for word from beginning to end.
Wow.
And so like, yeah. It can't be overstated how much I love this movie.
Well, I mean, I will say that I did own the soundtrack album for this. I did have that CD.
Yeah. You
know, yeah. So this was one where I listened to the music a lot out of context from the movie itself as well. I'm far more familiar with that. That's what's even funnier is I'm far more familiar with the music than I am of the movie itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also only realizing on this watch how much I appreciate the music.
Yeah, I think what I can say about it is I still enjoyed it, but it's definitely not my sense of humor anymore. I've matured, as it were.
Yeah. And it really is interesting looking at it through a 2020 lens, which it's, you know, it really, I don't know. Again, it's tough to say without watching the show itself whether they're taking hurtful pokes at certain people in this movie or whether it's still in the same satirical way or not. Right.
Yeah. Cause like back in the day, the show I felt was very much, it's like it's that MTV generation. There's lots of shows like this, but it's the whole purpose of the show was to shock and offend and that kind of stuff. It wasn't really to satirize.
Yeah.
And that's where this movie kind of lies.
Yeah. I mean, this is also back in the day when you would still have, like, a giant satellite dish coming out of Cartman's ass. You know, this was a very weird watch for me with, you know, 2022 eyes on it. And it was kind of, I don't know how else to put it. It was a trip because for me, it's I haven't watched South Park at all in 20 years. Those big plush dolls that I'm talking about, I ended up selling those about 5 years ago when I moved to one of Chris's buddies, you know, and so I don't have those anymore. I did have them in a box for a long time because I just couldn't let go, but yeah, it's so weird revisiting South Park after 20 years because I loved it so hard for such a little amount of time. That was the weirdest part for me was I can't believe it's in, you know, I'm back in South Park. So I mean,
yeah.
If I had to rate this movie, I really have trouble separating like the story itself and all the offensive shit going on to like the grander scale of the fact that this is a musical. You know, there's been a few Disney musicals over the years, going back to that person's comparison, where the music in it has saved the movie itself, because the movie itself is not very good. So, I don't know. It's South Park. You know, that's all I can say about it, is if at any point in your life you have liked South Park, it's still South Park.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's safe to say. If you like South Park, you're probably still going to like this movie, for sure.
Yeah.
And if you like anything that Trey and Matt, like Trey Parker and Matt Stone have done, then you're probably going to like this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I'm glad I revisited it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. That is South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. And that's our show for this week. If you like that show, one thing you can do to really help us out is, like, just go and rate and review us on whatever podcast app it is you're listening to your podcasts on. You know, a minute out of your day can change Colin and my lifetime. I mean, you can change our lives just by giving us 5 stars in a review, or just telling people, get more earballs on this show and help build our audience. Or if you want to go above and beyond and become a producer of the show and get a shout out on the show, just like executive producer Joshua Blum, go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne and become part of our Patreon family.
And be sure to check out our website, www.IUsedToLikeThisOne.com, where you can find links to all of our podcast episodes, as well as our social media pages. We got Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. And if you want to drop us a line and let us know what you think of the podcast, let us know what movies you used to like, you can do so at IUsedToLikeThisOne@gmail.com.
I Used to Like This One is created by, hosted by, and produced by Sean Wells and Colin Stewart. It is edited by Sean Wells. Music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band Carter and the Capitals anywhere you listen to music. Thank you for listening. And join us next time when we take a look at another movie on I Used to Like This One.
As the parents plot to execute Terrence and Philip for their crimes at a USO show at... What the heck? I've added too many words, sorry. As the parents plot to execute Terrence and Philip for their crimes at a USO show, the boys lead the children... What the fuck? Was I high when I wrote this? Hold on a second. Showing the boys lead. It's like my autocorrect just added the at all these random places. Huh. Okay. While also navigating relationship with the... Wow, that was a struggle. Matt Damon.